Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vanderkirk. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
That kind of set a mood, didn't it? I'm not sure what the mood was. I'm still trying to sort it out.
Maybe a little bit of intrigue.
A little intrigue.
Well, there we go. Yeah. We're going to see how that plays into our first conversation this morning. Now, critics of the long-standing practice of Maui cane burning are hoping that the environmental court will offer some immediate relief. The group is already suing to stop cane burning. Attorney Lance Collins also recently asked the court to halt the burns pending the outcome of the lawsuit. At issue in both actions is what the group says is a violation of public trust to protect public health. Lance Collins is in Honolulu today, and he's in our studio now. Good morning.
Good morning.
There are a lot of people who will say, but these burns have been going on for generations. How far back do the burns go?
Well, as a industry-wide across the island's practice, it wasn't actually until the late 1920s and early 1930s that cane burning was adopted. The transportation technology and the infrastructure to get burnt cane to a mill within the 48-hour, burnt cane has to be processed within 48 hours or the sugar inverts and it's no longer commercially viable. And so before the late 1920s and early 1930s, cane just couldn't get to the mills fast enough to be processed. And so it wasn't a practice until then. Before then, what would happen is workers would strip the cane stalk of its dried leaves, and it was called holy work. And actually, by the 1920s, it was mostly work that was given to women at a fraction of man's wages on the plantations.
So skip a few decades forward. When this practice is now commercially viable and it's seen as being just de rigueur, going to happen annually, but there was still some controversy over it even into the 70s and the 80s.
Well, that's right. In 1971, the Department of Health ordered cane burning to stop within 3 years. The person who did that was sort of reassigned and the matter was dropped. And then in 72, the Maui Advisory Committee to the Department of Health got the Department of Health to propose rules that would have phased out cane burning by 1980. And the sugar lobby came in and had that proposal axed. The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health came in the mid-1980s at the invitation of the Department of Health to investigate how cane burning impacts worker health. They came up with some preliminary conclusions that indicated that it does substantially impact worker health and encouraged the Department of Health to do more specific studies to determine how best to minimize or eliminate those impacts. And what ended up happening was the Department of Health did nothing further. And actually, 2 years later, the state auditor slammed the Department of Health specifically for allowing industry to dictate both policy and enforcement with respect to pollution control.
So here we are now, and it seems to reach a pitch point with a lot of people on Maui and certainly with those that you represent. There's a lawsuit pending. Don't know necessarily when you're going to get that heard, but in the meantime, you're asking that the burns stop, and this injunction is going to be heard by a judge, in September?
Yeah, it's scheduled to be heard in Judge Cardoza's new environmental court on September 16th at 9:30, and it does ask that cane burning be stopped until the lawsuit is resolved.
The sugar industry, though, and particularly Alexander Baldwin and HCNS, saying that if this goes forward, that there are going to be a lot of people who will be out of work, who will have their livelihood, their families, their homes, the dinner on the table threatened. Is that a viable argument? It's one that we hear consistently whenever something like this comes up.
Well, it's Alexander and Baldwin uses that argument every time on every issue. They don't have enough water. The weather isn't good. Sugar prices are low. The farm bill isn't going to be reauthorized by Congress. Pretty much any time anything happens, its sugar operations are threatened. And actually, most recently in 2009, they were going to shut down because the import restrictions, the price controls, the loans and other subsidies the U.S. government gives them wasn't enough for them to make enough of a profit. And so they were thinking of shutting down their sugar operations. And so now again today, this week, they've said the same thing, that sugar is just not profitable enough. But, you know, if you consider AMB this year was number 5 in Hawaii Business's top 250 businesses. They made a $60 million net profit. And so when they say, oh, well, people are going to be out of a job and stuff, I think it's really incumbent on AMB to tell the community what is their long-term plan for sugar. What are the contingency plans so that the state and the county can be proactive and try to minimize any disruption to the community by them shutting down sugar operations?
Your point is that this might have been up for discussion anyway, shutting down sugar, that this might just be a convenient excuse to be blaming the community calling for the halting of cane burning.
Quite possibly. I mean, this happens anytime anything happens that sugar operations are threatened. And the truth is that sugar is a precarious business, and there's all sorts of other reasons, perhaps, that AMB keeps the sugar production going. I mean, I think just before the lawsuit was filed, AMB said that they might be shutting down the mill because the PUC wouldn't grant them a rate increase. 10% of Maui's energy comes from coal that's burned at the mill, and that's actually, I think, how AMB makes most of its profit from sugar, is actually the selling of excess power to MECO, and the PUC didn't approve of a rate increase. And they were saying, well, maybe we're going to stop sugar operations because of that. And so, I mean, I think that's, you know, it's these issues of, well, you know, it seems like everything that could possibly, anything that happens in the universe is another reason why the sugar operations have to be shut down.
As a company, their job is to put out a product or products, because there's a whole family of companies, and to make a profit. At the same time, your point, and the point has been made over decades, that should be done, at least in terms of the Hawaii, from the Maui sugarcane burning, with respect to the public health. That brings up the Department of Health. What are they telling you?
Well, you know, it's one of the, not very much, especially since the lawsuit was filed. You know, the people who work at the Department of Health, I think, overall really want to do a good job. And I think there's really a huge problem of lack of resources and possibly in some instances training. And so, you know, they can only do the best they can do with what they have. And if you have something that requires 20 people and you only have 2 people doing it, you know, it's not really that you can really blame them with respect to actual enforcement. But in terms of policy, you know, that's something that is sort of reflective of nobody seems to want to be held accountable for implementing the policy, which is to have a clean and healthful environment. And that's a problem.
Is there any compromise position that you can see between the community's need to, or the community that you represent, to say we don't want to have cane burning, and A&B's position that says as long as we're going to have sugar here, we need to do it?
Well, you know, I think if they could, first of all, if they could explain why it is that it's a all or nothing proposition, that would be very helpful.
All or nothing in one sense.
Well, we either get to do whatever we want to do in the way we want to do it, and we want to externalize these labor costs, which is what cane burning is. It's externalizing the cost of having to manually or mechanically strip the leaves, and externalize it onto the health of the community. So, you know, if it has to be that way, then they need to make that, they need to clearly explain that argument, first of all, which they haven't done, and then to see if there is some alternative. You know, the 36,000 acres of prime agricultural land, and I'm sure that a lot of different people can think of a lot of really good other uses for it that could turn a profit. Of course, that may not be part of AMB's broader plan. It's primarily a real estate company now. And so having that land be committed pretty much forever for agricultural purposes may not be part of their long-term plan.
Okay. I mean, some of that is just, you know, speculation about what they may or may not be doing.
That's
but
right.
The issue of whether or not the sugar would be there based on whether or not that part is profitable or not, that still seems to be up in the air.
That's right. It is up in the air. Sugar is a very risky, you know, business, and it it.
So might this just be a moot point? I mean, for the short term?
Quite possibly. It depends. In the Advertiser at the end of last week, A&B, on an investor call, said that they might be shutting down operations and didn't mention the lawsuit at all. So this may end up being a moot point very quickly.
All right. We're going to wait and see how it turns out. And there's no real timeline on that, although there is the September 16th hearing date. We'll see if that stays on that date or whether it gets moved. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Lance Collins is the attorney representing Stop Cane Burning. He recently filed for an immediate injunction in Maui's Environmental Court to put the burning activities of Alexander and Baldwin's Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company on hold pending the resolution of the group's lawsuit.